Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
And welcome, everybody. I'm so glad that you've joined us for another show. It's great to have you. I hope that everything is going wonderful for you, that God is moving in your life. What an amazing time to be alive and to serve our great King. Well, you may hear that Mark's voice is absent, which typically means that I have a guest in studio because I'm trying to run this thing by myself. So we'll see how we go here today. I have a friend and a colleague in-house with me. His name is Brian Evans, and he is with Madrona Financial. And Brian has a unique background that I just felt it was a wonderful opportunity to bring Brian on, talk about some different things that he and I do together and how we build tax and financial plans and estate planning all collectively together in one fell swoop. And so, Brian, thank you so much for coming on to the Legacy and Faith Show today. It's great to have you.
You bet. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners today? You have a unique background that has led you to where you are now professionally. But tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'll break it into two pieces, my professional and then a little bit on the personal background. Professionally, I graduated from Washington State University a long time ago.
I'm sorry, but
yeah,
that's okay.
Well, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing I still have you on the show, but that's all right. Sorry for all you Cougars out there who might actually now turn me off, but that's okay. Keep going, Brian.
It's all good. It's fun to have the banter.
Yeah, that's right.
But I graduated summa cum laude there and started as a CPA in Bellevue. I've been a CPA for over 35 years. And a little over 20 years ago, had some clients want me to invest their money. And I said, no can do. And they said, why not? And I said, I'm not licensed. I said, well, Brian, get licensed. So I got licensed. And well, that turned into Madrona Financial Services. So Bauer Evans CPAs is my CPA firm, and Madrona Financial Services is the investment advisory practice. We now manage well over $500 million. I've got about 35 employees in multiple locations in the Puget Sound. As I was doing all of that, it occurred to me one day, I had all this knowledge because being a CPA and a financial advisor, huge advantage.
Well, it's a very unique combination, a very solid combination that most people don't actually have that luxury. So
Right. And I was actually a partner of a CPA firm, so it wasn't just that, you know, I had an accounting major or something like that. I had to know my stuff. And so as years went by, I'm sitting there at my desk there in Everett going, you know, I think I'm the best kept secret in Western Washington. I don't have any new clients coming in because, you know, it's hard to get, you know, in front of people and when you're working all the time. So I started to do a radio show 8 years ago. I've got a couple radio shows now. And daily features, for those of you that channel surf, you've probably heard me, on those. So started doing that. I'm a national coach now to about 100 other, financial advisors on, advanced topics, and all that kind of thing. So professionally, it's been a really interesting, because, you know, I went to work, in Bellevue, but eventually I went to work in Everett for Bob Bauer, and it was just Bob. The Bob
right.
Show. And then over the years, I bought him out. We just had our tax season party recently. And,
yeah.
And Bob's still there.
That's
and,
great.
Yeah, he still comes in and he's there every day. But he's taken that load off of me and really focusing on the rest of the stuff, the financial planning. Because as a CPA, we're looking backwards. We're looking in the rearview mirror. I never knew what year it was because I'm always working on last year's or the year before or the third year back. I never knew what year it was. But I was always working in the back. Backwards looking and, you know, by doing the financial planning, that's all about forward looking. And so I really enjoy that and being able to consult on all of that. And as it relates to other areas that typically financial advisors can't provide, such as business succession planning, real estate tax advantage strategies, charitable gifting strategies, estate and trust, working with estate attorneys like yourself, and all those different areas, and obviously the income tax planning as it relates to the investments themselves.
Right. Well, a real strong professional background, obviously, and Well, tell us, how did you get to Washington State? So what's a little bit about your personal journey as far as who you are as a person? And so tell us a little bit about your personal background.
Yeah, I was born in Mount Vernon and out on the – we lived out by the tulip fields. My dad was a math teacher and head baseball coach there. And he grew up very poor. Actually, he was born in the Dust Bowl. His mom died early in the 30s. And they came over on a work train, he and his dad and brother, siblings, and ended up picking fruit and ended up finally in Rockport, where my grandpa was worked with the loggers up there. So I call my dad the missing link. He came from that background and got his degree in physics and a master's in math, and was actually invited to play for the Brooklyn Dodgers to try out with them, but he couldn't make it. He didn't have any money for a train trip out there. But so that's the background there. So I grew up actually farming. I farmed for 13 summers in Skagit Valley, picking everything there was that grew and driving tractors, combines, and all that kind of thing until I graduated.
That's such a romantic lifestyle, though. Why did you give that up?
Gee, I don't know. I never went on some vacation. You know, people go to camp or whatever. What the heck is camp? Is that where you get the tastiest roe in the cucumber field? I don't know. You know, I didn't have that growing up, really. But part of that is I was very motivated to do well. In fact, I didn't want straight A's. I wanted the highest straight A's. I mean, I was terrible. Nobody liked me in school because I always set the curve and all that. But I was so motivated to get out of there. I wanted to have a different kind of life. And so did that. Actually grew up in a atheist household. There was no believers. I'd never gone to church. Would never consider it. It just wasn't the thing that we were supposed to do. And it wasn't until later in life, when I was 47 years old, that I actually became a Christian.
Wow. And
so that doesn't often happen.
Right.
Spend that many years thinking you're not. And it was kind of an interesting journey for me in that, I was always thought, well, I'm too scientific to accept faith and all that. I didn't know how to do that. And I thought I was just never going to get there. And then I put my Christianity to the science test. And
okay.
I kind of said, all right, is it even possible for a human to survive if some of our systems aren't fully functioning? Well, for about 30 seconds maybe, but no. How long does it take to evolve a fully functioning heart or white blood cells or sight, or how long would that take? And how would anything even survive long enough to evolve into anything? We can adapt. If we eat more, we're bigger. If we're in the sun, we get darker skin. How would it even be possible for that to happen? And then it just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was like, well, it'd have to just happen at the same time. Oh, that's created. Oh, wait a second. We couldn't have evolved. We had to be created.
Yeah.
So scientifically, I just like, oh. And then I started reading Case for Faith, Case for Christ. I read the Bible. I've read it, I don't know, 6 or 7 times now. And every time I do, I find out so many new things that really help me in my, actually my professional life, obviously my personal life.
Yecertainly.
Yeah, forever instead of what I was brought up believing. My dad used to say, well, we live, we die, we become worm food, he said.
Yeah. Till the ground and then we become the ground.
Yeah, that's not so awesome.
You're right.
Now I know it's not that, so I'm really excited that I'm not dying is not my great fear anymore. It's going to be so much better. So I share that story with so many people. Part of the reason I think I'm blessed is because I have a Bible in my office, in my house. I got contractors coming in. I've talked to so many people. They're just like, you're pretty successful. I kind of want to emulate you. What's your secrets? What did you do? And so I get to talk about that stuff. And the fact that I do, I think, helps my blessings. And anyway, so that's just a little background on me, my faith journey to some degree and kind of where my motivations were.
Yeah, I believe that our life is supposed to be something that speaks about the glory of God. That is why we are here, is to emulate who God is and who and everything that is about him. So I love the story of Peter's calling. It's actually one of my favorite storylines in the Bible of how Jesus comes along the shore as Peter and his colleagues have just finished the entire evening fishing. And they caught how much? They caught nothing. And they're cleaning their nets. And here comes a guy that says, "Hey, I need to borrow your boat." So Peter turns over his boat to Jesus to be able to use for kingdom purposes. And so when we turn over things in our life for kingdom purposes, that sets up the ability for a blessing to start happening in our lives. So there is a kingdom law that begins to expand in our own life. From there, after listening to what Jesus was talking about, because many people missed that Peter was actually in that boat. He was actually listening to what Jesus was talking about. He was receiving the word and his faith was building during the time of listening to the master, so that when they came back to the shore and Jesus had a revelation to say, "Peter, go cast your net over there," Peter's heart was set up to say, "This guy might actually know something. This guy sounds different. I just listened to him talk about the kingdom of God. And so I'm now going to call him master and say, okay, at your word, I'll take everything that I just learned and everything I know, and I'm going to go back out." And so he goes back out, and we know the end of the story. A boat sinking harvest that he has never had in his lifetime. And so then he actually, not just his boat, but he calls to the shoreline and calls his partners back out. And his partners come back out and they fill their boat. So in other words, as much as what was under Peter's dominion, because he gave what was under his dominion to Christ first, now whatever was under his dominion was blessed by God. And he goes back, and the scripture says that that when he talked to Jesus, he goes, I'm unworthy. In other words, he felt undressed by this new revelation of who God was and who was standing before him. And the scripture says this one thing that just, you ever read the Bible one of those times and something just jumps off the page at you? This jumped off the page at me. And it says, he was amazed. And I look at that and I go, that's what our life is supposed to reflect. Our life is supposed to reflect an amazement to the world that attracts them to the calling of Jesus Christ, that is supposed to bring the dying world with eyes wide open and says, how am I supposed to follow after what you have? And we can turn their attention back to our Lord and Savior. And that is an amazing thing. So thank you, Brian, for sharing some of your personal journey and some of your own faith. Well, we're up against a break here. So, Brian, if people are interested in knowing a little bit more about you, how do they find you?
You can find us at Madrona Financial, M-A-D-R-O-N-A, madronafinancial.com. Got lots of stuff on there, books to download. We offer free financial plans. We have radio shows, all kinds of stuff. Lots of good stuff on that website.
Yeah, we'll come back after break and discuss a little bit about what is on there, and we'll start talking a little more about what you do on a daily basis. You can also find information about what I do at legacyandfaith.com. There's upcoming workshops, there's past podcasts and ways to communicate with us, so head over to legacyandfaith.com. I'll be right back with Brian Evans on today's Legacy and Faith Show.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And welcome back. I'm so glad that you've stayed with us. And with me is Brian Evans of Madrona Financial. Brian, you mentioned as we headed out into break, you mentioned your website. Why don't you take just a couple minutes more and talk about what resources people could actually find if they go to MadronaFinancial.com?
Yeah, on MadronaFinancial.com, we have lots of resources in that. I do a lot of publishing. I've got lots of Kiplinger articles. We have some books. We have a brand new one that's just coming out now, the 7 Steps to a Successful Retirement. It's not a huge read. It's a little over 100 pages, but I think it really breaks down life into, you know, one of the cool things about it, it redefines wealth to some degree. So what I mean by that is a lot of people think that if I only had more money, I'd be happier.
Right.
If there's only one or two more zeros at the end of my statement, then I would achieve happiness. And what I was able to share this just recently. One of my best friends growing up passed away prematurely, and they had me talk to their group of friends about this and about how wealth is having an abundance of friends, an abundance of faith, of health, of hobbies, of family time, quality time, service, charitable endeavor, you know, all that's the definition of wealth.
Yes.
Well, money is a resource that can maybe help you achieve more time to do some of those other things or ability, but it's just a resource.
That's right. Tools.
And the fact, you know, I shared with them that my clients, the ones with 1 million or 10 million or 20 million, whatever, the 20 million is not happier. In fact, there's almost a reverse correlation between more money and less money.
I was going to say that a lot of my clients, the more money you have, the more you have to think about it, the more worrisome it becomes. And there's actually a switch there that almost that becomes the burden instead of becoming the freedom that people are actually seeking.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And so, you know, we talked about that. But anyway, that's within the new books. I think you might find that an interesting read. I did mention that we do offer financial plans to people because it's one thing to be an investment advisor and go, okay, what are you in? Well, give it to me and I'll put it in something different. Okay, well, anybody can do that. You can go online and do that. I mean, you don't really need a financial advisor to do a 60-40 stock bond split or to buy indexes or whatever. You can do that yourself. But you may not be able to do a lot of things that are outside of the basic stuff. But the planning is what matters because the planning allows us to say, all right, what does my financial life mean and when can I retire? And what will my spending ability look like? And what about my legacy? Is my legacy just leaving all to my kids someday? If they didn't earn it, I don't know that it's going to be there that long. Depends on your kids, of course. And
oh, no. Statistically, that is exactly correct.
I know it is. And so, you know, now we can start looking at other things that you might want to think about as what's meaningful in my life? And if you're called to leave money for charitable endeavors to church or other charities. All right, what are ways to accomplish that? So we have all kinds of great strategies. I just recorded, I'm really looking forward to it. I just recorded over 100 videos on 100 different topics. They're advanced topics in the charitable space. They're on donating appreciated property or donating your required minimum distribution, charitable remainder trust, donor advised funds, putting a charity in your will. So ways that you can have tax, you know, who doesn't like a tax deduction or a tax credit?
I like them.
Yes, tax advantage things because there's a lot of disinformation out there or information that's really poor. I was just talking to an advisor I coached and he called me and he told me all these things he's going to do. I'm like, stop. You're going to cost your client $1 million in unnecessary tax because you don't know what you're talking about. Hell, let me help you out. You know, as one of the chapters in one of my books, I have a book called Prosperous Revelation. It's Grandma, please don't give me your house. You know, just one of those situations where, oh, hey, we got smart. We had her quit claim it the week before she died. Well, she just quit claimed her low basis.
That's correct.
So now you got all this tax to pay, and you could have got the step up.
She just quit claimed a tax problem.
Yeah, thanks. If you just waited and inherited, there'd be no income tax on the sale. Instead, you're going to be taxed on everything. So little things like that. There's so, tax code, that's only about 2 million pages with all the interpretations. I could take up more than your half hour here, Paul, pretty easily.
Yeah, and I'm sure that you and I could banter back and forth about taxes and just bore the heck out of the audience.
That's gripping.
So, let's not head over there. But talk to me a little bit with the little bit of time that we have remaining on today's show about what was the transition from, being a CPA, because that right there is a strong enough profession that you could just could have hunkered down right there, helped a lot of people do good tax things, work out tax strategies. What was compelling? What's a little bit of your story of what was that light that went on that says, actually, I really need to start moving over into a different space? What I find is that there's usually something that triggered you to say, actually, that's a better place for me to be than where I'm at. So what was that trigger that took you from being a CPA to say, I actually should do a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of us think our CPA should be doing some planning and so forth, but they're prohibited from giving investment advice.
A lot of people think that their CPA should be doing legal work too. So an FYI, please don't ask your CPA to be doing that. That's really why I'm here. But go ahead, Brian.
No, that's exactly right. So it's like, okay, so I really can't do planning because I can't ask, can I look at your investments and give you opinions about different options that you have? Like if you wanted to sell your appreciated real estate, did you know you could do a Section 1031 exchange into a passive Delaware statutory trust? I just lost half your audience. Sorry. There's so many
things. Okay, I'm hanging with you still.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Okay. But there's a lot of things that we can do if I'm licensed to talk about it and your CPA is not. Conversely, your financial planner is probably not licensed to give income tax advice. Well, isn't that the most important part of the kind of the planning and the financial planning and all that? Yeah. And they're prohibited from giving me advice? Yeah. Have you ever, if you're listening, you have a financial advisor, you've ever asked them estate planning questions, trust questions, income tax questions, real estate? They probably go, you'll have to consult your XYZ advisor.
Yeah.
I don't have them.
A smart advisor will then try to send you elsewhere because they're not supposed to be talking about that, correct? So you're right. And each person in their lane is a much stronger teamwork approach instead of everybody trying to play in each other's backyard pool. So that doesn't work too good.
Yeah. And another comment on that, my first 15 years of being a CPA, a partner of a CPA firm, I had a file full of all the times that I've gotten a phone call from a financial advisor asking a question about their client before they made a move. Oh, that file was empty. I literally 15 years and never gotten a question from a stockbroker, financial advisor ever about a client trying to work in concert with the CPA. Not even one.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that was to answer your question, why did I get into it? Because I could do the whole thing. And so, we've got 20 people in our CPA firm. We got 15 people in the advisory practice. We work together quite well. And I consult with myself quite well.
Yes, correct. I often look at myself in the mirror and argue with myself because I'm an attorney and that's what I'm required to do. And you work in conjunction. I know that we have mutual clients. And so it's a great opportunity for us to communicate back and forth. And that's what we do as well, which is we actually talk. It's an amazing thing, isn't it, Brian? When professionals actually talk with each other, why is there such a protective attitude in the professional industry instead of what you're talking about, which is collaboration? I like to think of myself as a good collaborator, as someone who will reach out and talk to CPAs before I start making moves on my own to make sure that we're all on the same page. Why is that not everybody's stance?
Often it's follow the money. Financial advisors know that once somebody starts asking their CPA or other things, that CPA might say, don't do it. Yeah. Don't move your money. Don't, you know, they might have some pushback and they'll lose that client. They say, well, I can sell this client on my 60-40 stock bond split and convince them it's worth 1.5% a year to do that. And they don't want anybody else in there. So really it's a follow the money kind of thing, or insurance person that's trying to sell annuities and all that stuff. Maybe the CPA doesn't think that's a good idea and they would tell their client that. But, you know, often the CPA won't even tell the client that because they don't know what the annuity is and they're prohibited from giving investment advice. So we got this real disconnect there. It's a broken kind of thing when we aren't cross-licensed that way. And many CPAs are afraid to give advice. They just don't. They'll, you know, I'm going to fill out your tax return. If you have a CPA, you might know what I'm talking about here. I mean, they might do great at filling a tax return, but they may not do it a lot of advice giving or planning. And part of that's not their fault. As I mentioned, they're prohibited from giving certain kinds of planning, any investment advice. And how do you do real planning without giving some opinion about investments?
Yeah. And really what you're talking about is a more biblical model anyways, which is in the abundance of counselors is wisdom, is what Proverbs says. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory. And really the victory that you're talking about is what you mentioned earlier, which is how can we set people up? How do we set up the body of Christ so that they can walk in what they are supposed to be doing to build God's kingdom? And many of us don't have that opportunity because we never brought in a multitude of counselors to gain wisdom. We've listened to one voice, or worse, we've listened to our own voice. We've never actually gone outside of ourselves. We've never talked to a CPA. We've never talked to a financial advisor. We've never talked to the estate planner. And we've done everything based upon what other people have told us to do. We've listened to our friends. We've listened to our own ideas. We've searched Google because, oh, Google's got to know everything. But yet, the biblical model is that we need to come and get wisdom from multiple directions so that we can build a safe harbor around us. And really what God's passion is that when we build that multitude of counselors, that we have the opportunity to be set free into our calling and into what He has wants us to do to build His kingdom. And I'm not so sure that there's many people who have experienced that freeing opportunity in their lifetime. Well, Brian, thank you so much for joining me today. We're going to have you back next week, actually. So that's exciting. We're going to actually do a little more geeky stuff next week. Uh-huh. We're going to talk about other topics and get into some different specific issues to talk about. But right now, if people are interested in reaching out to you, finding out more information about what services you offer or intrigued by what you have, where do they find you, sir?
Yeah, the easiest is just go to madronafinancial.com or 844-MADRONA. Give us a call. But the website has lots of resources there at madronafinancial.com.
Great. And thank you so much for joining us on another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find me at legacyandfaith.com, where there's past podcasts, upcoming events, and opportunities to communicate with us. So thank you again. Have a blessed day. And thank you for joining us on the Legacy and Faith Show.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.